What's up, y'all? It's your girl, Natasha Monique, and welcome to the Highly Melanated Podcast Show. And on this season of the Highly Melanated Podcast Show, we will be chatting about motherhood. Yes, not motherhood, but motherhood. Because my name is Natasha, and Natasha's are like really extra, and like we love everything like animal print. So why would I call it motherhood? Come on now, y'all. I know black girls like to put flair on things. So yeah, on this season of motherhood, we will be talking about my life as a mom to a toddler while trying to juggle a career, trying to be an entrepreneur, trying to coexist with a partner, and still trying to be a sexy ass MILF. All of that. We gonna chat about all of that. And what y'all hear in the background, y'all probably can hear it. I'm not sure because I'm going to add music to this. My baby's crying. He needs to go to bed. There's nothing wrong with him. And I have to get used to that. I used to jump up so much. And I used to get so much anxiety. Because I used to be like, oh my God, it makes me a terrible mother if I don't go get my baby. And he all right. He all right. He going to work that out. His dad can jump up and go get him if he want to. But I am learning that he good. I'm watching him from the camera and there's nothing wrong with him. I'm getting the hang of this motherhood thing, y'all. I really am. But yeah, man, I'm so excited, y'all, because your girl then came up on a year of podcast. Yes, I stuck with something for an entire year, which I'm so proud of, because if you know me, you know, I lack consistency and I get bored with things very easily. I'm not even sure how I'm still in a relationship, to be quite honest. I just get bored fast, you know? I guess maybe my son done slowed me down. I don't know. Slowed me down. And seriously speaking, I really love podcasting. Like, I really do, man. It's like the perfect outlet for somebody who just has a lot of fucking personality. So, you know. I appreciate all the love and support from you guys. All your encouraging words, man. Especially even coming from my family. Like, you know, it's not easy when you're telling your story because it involves people in your family. And I know, you know, that could be a trigger for some people. But it's, again, it's my journey, man. It's my journey. So shout out to my family that listen and reach out to me and be like, yo, cuz, you know, proud of you, man. Keep doing what you're doing. You inspired me. And that's my point, man. My whole goal is just to inspire others. I was listening to Lizzo. Let me say something. Let me just say this first. I obsess over things. So right now I'm obsessing over Lizzo because I like really just got onto her. Like I would hear her songs, but I never knew it was her. So now that I know it's her, I'm like super duper sweating her. So I was just like watching some of her performances, and when she performed Good As Hell, you know, I was just like in fucking tears. I watched her VMA performance and I seen when she was in her hometown, I want to say Houston, Texas, and I was just so inspired. Like I was trying so hard not to cry at work. Like that's how inspired I was. So right before I even did this podcast, like I was having a real like moment. Like I was really doubting myself about a lot of things, and I took a shower, a real, real hot shower, and I like let it steam up and everything. And then I put my essential oils in there, which was my eucalyptus oil and my peppermint oil. And I just was breathing, like just breathing in this steam and opening up my pores and just breathing in the oils. And I was just playing Lizzo, and like every song that I was listening to, like I was just feeling amazing. And like it made me feel good. And so my point is, that's why I do this podcast, because I feel like if you listening to it and, you know, you might, you know, if you feeling what I'm feeling, then or you understand where I'm coming from, you might feel inspired. Is what I'm trying to say. And so that's why I do this, man. Just inspire other women or men to just, hey, be yourself. Be yourself. And that's a part of the reason why I was down, because motherhood, I really feel like when my son was born, I was reborn. So I'm trying to figure me out. And I have my days where I feel myself slipping backwards and I got to pull myself back forward. And so what I started to do was check, like, what's going on with you? Why do you have these moments where you go backwards? And it was a lot of things. But what the real core of it was, is not knowing who I am anymore. And knowing, like, you're going to have to go backwards a little bit, baby girl. And not get stuck there, but you're just going to have to travel back a little, just a little far. Just a little far. To get good. You know, to get good. To get better. To get better with yourself. So I'm on this journey, man. And sometimes you get stuck in your journey. And you got to just talk yourself out of it and say, bitch, come on. Let's go. Let's go. So thank you, Lizzo, for doing that for me. And I'm so thankful that I'm able to do that for you guys. But yeah, so your girl has made a year podcasting, and I guess we're gonna reflect in this episode on my growth over this past year. As a woman and as mom. Yeah. Wow, I can't believe it's been a freaking year. And also, I got something exciting. I have two new segments that I am introducing. And one is Who Let the Mom Out? And it's exactly what it sounds like. Who let the fucking mom out? Because this mother right here, no, excuse me, this mother right here, whenever I get to go outside away from that baby, I act like a kid that just got off punishment again. So we're going to chat about my adventures on Who Let the Mom Out. And then my second thing is the Naked Playlist. Y'all remember my episode when I was talking about dancing naked in the mirror? Bitch, I got a playlist for you. I got a playlist for you. So make sure. You get your pen and paper out. I'm going to do it old school. But not for nothing, I'm also going to figure out how to do it on iTunes as well. So you can always go look at that too when I figure that out. But for right now, just do it old school and grab you a pencil or a pen and some paper. And we're going to jot it down. Or your phone. Duh, ta-ta, get with the time. Or write it down in your notes on your phone. But yes, we got a Naked Mirror playlist. And you can also use that Naked Mirror playlist when you're driving for car karaoke, for shower karaoke, or you could just bust out singing any of these songs, and it'll make you feel good about yourself, because I know I feel good about myself when I sing any of these songs, no matter which song it is. And it's a very diverse list, I'm just going to say that. But yeah, let's get started. Let's get started. And welcome back, guys. So, reflection a year ago. My growth as a person. Well, let's just say, like I said, when I had my son, I felt like I just was reborn. And the first thing I had to do was really just think about me as a person, and acknowledge the fact that, or acknowledge why I think I had so much anxiety about so many things, and what I chucked it up to was a lot of childhood trauma, and when I realized that that's what it was, by going to therapy and being able to, like, process it, I got stuck. I got stuck there. And it made me a slave to everyone around me. Like, I was a slave to, like I would attach myself to everybody's emotions. Like, I would own their shit like it was my shit. Like, I really would. And it would be because, you know, growing up, you know, when you experience abuse and you're abused, you always think it's your fault. And so I never had anybody tell me, like, it's not your fault until I got to therapy, you know. And it took us about 3 years to really, it took about 3 years for me to really open up and show that I wasn't perfect, because I was sitting in sessions a lot and I wouldn't show emotion. Like, I would just talk, you know, and I would act like I had it together. And my therapist had to knock me down a few notches a lot of times. And then she would apologize. And I'm like, no, it's okay. And it's crazy because she's the only person that I can honestly say I was all right with what she had to say. And I guess it's because she don't know me. You know what I'm saying? She's only, you know, she's doing her job. Well, I feel like this. I feel like we get in these positions. I feel like we get in positions such as, you know, being a therapist, counselor, teacher, because we want to help people. And a lot of times because we want to serve a need or fulfill a need that wasn't provided for us. Am I using that right? So I feel like a lot of times my therapist, she does understand me. And so she's able to guide me because she understands and it makes it easy for me to receive it, because I know she don't know me, if that makes sense. So ultimately, I had to learn to accept that I'm a healthy adult, and I don't have to attach myself to everybody else's emotions. Like, I really take stuff so personal. A lot of times it don't have nothing to do with me. And I had to say to myself, and even if it do have to do with you, if that person did not say anything to you or about you or about whatever you thought it was, so what? Like, leave it at that. I'm getting better at it. I'm a work in progress. I'm getting better at it. I am. I really am. Can't claim nobody else's shit, man. You got your own shit to deal with. You really do. I'm also learning to mind my motherfucking business and worry about myself. Because it's like, when you worry about yourself in a way of taking care of yourself, I should say. When you take care of yourself so much, you don't have time to be on nobody else's shit. Like, you like, I gotta grind. I need to do what I need to do so I can't worry about them. You know, I need to make sure my relationship is, my house is in order before I worry about anybody else. And for the longest, I always worried about everybody else. Like, I always felt like I had to be the protector, you know, my cousins, and be up in their shit and be up in their business. And it really hit me, when it first hit me was when I jumped in my cousin's conversation with her partner, and I had just started dating, and he was like to me, like, bro, mind your business. And so my uncle was just so flabbergasted by the fact that I, like, was like, respect, and just went on about my business. But it killed me that he's like, he shut me down. Like, I was like, don't you do that in front of my family, nigga. But he was right, it's not your business, mind your business, keep it moving. My uncle was like, so my uncle was so proud of him and proud of me. But that was the first thing. And then the second thing was, I'll be doing all that hooping and hollering and disrespecting these men. And I had to think, like, my cousins is letting them disrespect them. Well, I need to mind my fucking business. And I remember I launched a desk at my cousin boyfriend. Like, it was one of them chair desks that's attached to each other. And I picked that shit up. He called me a hoe. I fucking, like, tried to, like, spin it and, like, fucking shot put it in his ass. Like, what you call me, nigga? Yo, I was so mad. But when it was like, oh, and my cousin went off on him, but at the end of the, well, I mean, I'll say that she went off on him, but it was just like, she went off on him because he was wrong. But at the end of the day, I should have just mind my motherfucking business, because I'm almost certain, even if it wasn't that night, by the next night, they was good. And I could have just mind my business. It wasn't my place, man. And I had to learn, like, I'm all up in they shit. And they still gonna be with these men. And he said it to me. He's like, bro, she gonna still be with me. And I was like, you know what? And I ain't kid, because I was so disrespectful back then. Like, I mean, fuck that. But over the years, man, I just started to mind my own business. And to be quite honest, my relationship is not perfect. When you start going through your own shit, you be like, oh, you be humbled, okay? You would be real humbled. And I'm being real humble. Because when you have a kid and you going through shit already on top of having a kid, and y'all know how it is. Come on now. We are a constant work in progress. So can you imagine trying to be a constant work in progress and be in a relationship? That shit just made me just mind my business. Like church finger out of everybody's business. The economy backed away and went back to go deal my own shit. And it also made me just spend more time with myself even more. Like, why are you so invested in everybody else's business? Because you was taught to be a nurturer, but you never took care of yourself. So I never took care of myself. So I never knew how to express my needs to anybody, because I felt like, who am I? You know, I was made to feel early on like, you know, whatever. Like, bitch, it don't matter. So I carried that with me. And so it, on top of helping my mom raise my brother, on top of trying to be everything to my cousins, so I wrap myself so much in everybody's business and their shit and their affairs, and helping to raise kids and do all of this bullshit that, you know, that a lot of us do, because I didn't want to deal with me. I was that friend that, oh, you can talk to me, and girl, and bitches, y'all know, and if y'all know me, y'all know why I'm be giving some good advice, and I'm not even toot my own horn. But I'm just saying, no, seriously, like, not even, like, before, I was just trying to make a joke, but no, seriously, everybody would always dump into me, even, like, friends that they shouldn't even been my friends, like, those bitches, too, just dump into me, and meanwhile, I was just, like, trying to figure shit out myself. But I was giving them good advice. Like, I really was. Because I was so experienced in so many things at such a young age. Man, I grew up so fast. I was like a little grown-up. And I remember those mothers would be cutting their eyes at me. And I'm looking at them like, bitch, you think I want to look this age? You think I want to act this age? Shit, I became a mother at 3 years old. You better mind your motherfucking business and better be motherfucking happy. I'm your daughter friend of keeping that bitch out of trouble. Shit, and trying to tell her what niggas to watch out for. Come on now. Hello, somebody. But seriously, it really made me just have to deal with myself. Like, I really had to take a step back and, like, say, hey, deal with yourself. Deal with yourself, Tata. What's going on with you? And that's a rough rule, but let me tell you something. Going to the gym and challenging myself to incorporate different workouts, challenging myself to not get all uncomfortable when I see women that look like brick houses getting right, like, that shit make me go harder and not even think of it as a competition. Like, I had to say to myself, like, stop being negative towards other women, you know, like, don't make up shit in your mind. They probably not paying you no attention, or maybe they might be looking at you like, oh, okay, sis, I see you. Stop thinking negative all the time, you know, like, how you gonna tell other black women to love themselves and you don't even love yourself, or you still do you be, yeah, no, let me say that, because you don't love yourself, you always thinking that other sisters are looking at you. And I know it's easy to give advice, but I'm sharing this to say, like, even the therapist needs a therapist. Because we all got shit going on with us. So I started to walk myself through working out at the gym. And even on top of, even if women was paying attention to me, like, knowing, like, when I would be around other sisters, like, some of those sisters would be ignorant and, like, try to work out close to me. And you, it's crazy because you'll be surprised. Like, I don't know if any of you guys experienced that, but I was really surprised that, like, how women still act, some women still act like that. Like, they be so extra. And I remember a few times working out and, like, girls, like, getting real close, black girls. And I'd be like, yo, why you, and I'd be like, why you doing that? Like, I keep doing what I'm doing, but I just be looking like, why you doing that? And I remember one time I was on this workout routine and I was like, I'm trying to learn how to jab and do sit-ups, like, sit up, jab. And, I was about to start wrapping my hands when the girls came in. And normally I would freeze. It's a trigger for me with black women. because, you know, when you bully, so that's something that I'm working through. So when I seen him, I immediately like got on guard, like, oh no. And normally what I would have done was I would have moved away. I would have, but I talked myself through it. Like, you're not done with your workout. Why are you worried about them? Do what you need to do. Like, protect your space, protect your area. Stop allowing people to push you out of your space. You know, make you uncomfortable. And again, sometimes they don't need to be thinking about you. But that's just, you know, you in your head. And even if they are, so what? Don't let them push back. Because what I'm learning, like, a lot of times people do shit because, first of all, they're hurting. But because most people that are like that know within the few seconds of being around people that have personalities like me, that they're going to, I'm going to have fun with this. If their mind is like on being negative or being like mean, they don't do that. Because a lot of us are wounded children. So, and I had to learn that the hard way, because I really thought we all just grew up when we grew up. So back to my point, as I'm working out, I was like, oh, stay. So I made myself stay. And so I just kept punching. I was doing my thing. And then I see them, like, they try to, you know, do their little workout. And I just be steady hitting that thing. And I was like, I started hitting a little hard, like, to let them know, like, it's two of y'all. And you know what's so crazy? Being on some real shit, regardless of how bubbly or blossom I may act to some people, I'm still black and I still grew up in the hood and I grew up in a project. I don't even like saying the hood, man. I just heard, I forgot this brother name, but I was watching Vlad TV and this Muslim brother was saying, I guess I should say this brother from Nation of Islam was saying that we call it hood, but it's a neighborhood. You know, calling the hood, like, that's not cute. So coming from a neighborhood, an urban neighborhood, you know, you learn about survival. So for me, instantly survival mode, and I have to tap more into the street, what's up, survival mode, instead of like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, like, that survival mode, because my mom put me in a school with everybody that didn't look like me, so... That'd be my response to shit. But it's still in me to be that, because I still grew up in that environment. I just spent way more time with people that didn't look like me than people that did look like me. So when I started hitting it harder, I just had it in my mind, like, I'm telling y'all, like, don't let this fool y'all. But it also it made me really think, like, yo, that's crazy how we are as sisters. Like, a lot of our trauma and or anxiety comes from that disconnect that we have with each other, man. And we just, it's so beautiful to be black. Like, our rhythm is always I feel like our rhythm is always in sync, right? That's how it's supposed to be. We for the most part, we show each other love, yo. We really do. But that part of us that's wounded children, that's hurting, that nobody loved us, a lot of times it's hard for us to look at somebody, or if we feel ugly, it's hard to look at somebody that look like us, that you know, they might be a little popping, a little more together. It's hard to look at them and be like, oh, I respect that you doing your thing. Some of us respond like, I robbed that nigga. Who this bitch think she is? You know, like, that's the part of us we gotta work on, man. Because the reality is, if you think about it, we all been through some shit, man. We all been through some shit. So instead of being nasty to one another, like, yo, like, I guess in a different world, I probably would have asked them, like, you know. No, I was about to say, do y'all want to work out together? But that probably would have been weird. Or maybe it wouldn't have been. I don't know. What I should have said was, because I was leading up to something, but then what I could have said was, I could have just made conversation with them, you know? Like, I've made conversation with people in the gym, but usually they don't look like me. And that's crazy that we can talk to, you know, what other people that don't look like us, but we can't talk to each other. And I know not all people do, because I've come across some African-American women that were very friendly. So don't get me wrong. But I notice we don't do that enough, I should say. But I know I want to really try working on being better. Being better by opening up more and talking to other sisters more. Like, instead of being a bitch, because I'm telling you, like, it was easier to be a bitch than to have to deal with some people. But my partner said some real shit to me. He was like, if you're going to be a bitch all the way. All the way. Like, don't just be a bitch and then when somebody be a bitch to you, you be like, no. Buck back. And I was like, true that. That sucks when you with somebody that really know you, because it's like, shut the fuck up. But like, it's true, man. And I had to eat that. And I always say, if it doesn't work out between us, I'll still always respect the fact that he was always real with me. And that is one of the things that will keep a healthy relationship between us. Because he's honest. He's honest. And I'm learning to accept his honesty. And it's also it also made me reflect on myself and say, live in your truth, man. If this is who you are, then be who you are. Like, stop worrying so much about what other people think. Stop feeling like you gotta be perfect for him. It's okay if you say you don't know something. Like, don't let the fact that he could use a whole bunch of big words intimidate you, because bitch, you smart too. Like, I really had to like check a lot of things with myself. That's all I had. Yeah, I really had to check. Y'all, I'm sorry. Sometimes I just be talking and I just be going. And I just spent 18 minutes on that. I also got into kickboxing. I told y'all about that. Yo, kickboxing is so fun, yo. The last class I went to, yo, fuck that guy. Bruh, I feel it. Like, I'm gonna keep going, because the workout he had us do, like, bruh, I felt amazing. But I also felt like I wanted to vomit. But that shit was dope. And I got like 8 more classes left. And I've been trying to be ready for Paris. So, kickboxing. Shit, I should try this Saturday. I could check the schedule. Yeah, I'm gonna try Saturday. But yo, kickboxing is so dope. Sorry, y'all. I just be forgetting. I be talking to y'all. I just be talking to myself. And then be forgetting this goddamn thing going. And I said the same thing twice. Sorry, I'm rambling. Reading. I started to really get back into my reading. I read 100 Days to Be Brave, Devotions for Unlocking Your Most Courageous Self. I'm reading that. I read that every single day. And right now, I am on day 43. I have to read it. This day 43 is called Your Family. So when I finish with you guys and finish editing, I'm gonna read that before I go to bed, because I'm also learning to just make sure I keep myself covered in positivity, because I'm an overthinker, and I'm learning not to just keep saying it's anxiety. I'm just really an overthinker, and that's just, you know, I'm learning how to redirect the overthinking. I'm learning what things I should. No, you really shouldn't overthink anything. Well, no, see, I'm about to overthink that. I am learning to bring my overthinking to a minimum. Just lower it. Just lower it just a little bit. I'm working on that. So I make sure I keep myself covered in quotes. In my office, man, I have so many quotes, and my clients always come in, and like whenever like we're doing work, or you know, we're just chatting, like they'll always say, I'm sorry, I'm turning pages because I lost my space on okay, here we go. So my clients always say, like, they'll look around and they'll be like, yo, oh well, not yo, but they'll be like, I love that you have quotes. Like, these quotes are really nice. Like, I really like these. And, you know, I always tell them, like, man, I have to stay covered, you know. It's so many triggers, especially doing the work that I do. There's a lot of triggers, and, you know, in social work, because just sometimes their stories hit home, you know. So I gotta just remind myself, you know, you are loved. You know, that's the past. You know, yesterday is heavy, put it down. And not even just them being triggers. Like, we carry who we are with us everywhere we go. And so, a lot of times at work, I just be sitting there like, fuck this shit. And I just be having to look at quotes to remind myself, like, bruh, like, you gotta do what you gotta do. You have to. You can, You can dream and work towards those dreams, but you still gotta hustle, man. You still gotta hustle for your bread and butter to invest in that dream or those dreams. So, you know, I just keep myself covered in those quotes. And I always remind myself to breathe. Always, because with the anxiousness, I feel it in my stomach, because, you know, the serotonin in your stomach. And my stomach always gets like really like fluttery and crazy, and I have to always tell myself to like breathe, calm yourself down, breathe. Hold on 1 second, let me find serotonin for y'all, because I was like, why would you say serotonin? I just know it's the stuff that make, no, see, I was about to say it wrong. I just, you know how you know what something is but you can't explain it? Okay, so serotonin. It has a popular image as a contributor to feelings of well-being and happiness. Though its actually biological function is complex and multifaceted. Okay, I didn't really want to go through all of that. But my stomach gets crazy. And from when I was doing my research, it's the serotonin that's in my tummy is what I'm feeling. And it's like, when I feel it in my tummy, I feel like it goes to my heart and it goes to my brain. And, it, you know, your body's connected. And so I have to just breathe. Like, I have to tap parts of my body. Like, breathe, bitch. Breathe. Like, calm yourself down. I have to. Because if not, you will go crazy. You really will. So just take those moments to breathe, man. You gotta take those moments to breathe. Whew. Last but not least, naked dancing. And naked dancing. And shaking that ass in front of that member and twerking that shit, bitch. But yes, naked dancing. Naked dancing is the best. Let me tell you something. I be getting right in that motherfucking bathroom. I be dancing, touching myself. My favorite song is by Lizzo. It's called Excuse Me. And she be like, feeling like a stripper when I'm looking in the mirror. I be slapping on that ass, getting thicker and thicker. I be like, bitch, you know it, cause I be doing them squats. Bam! I love naked dancing time. Which leads me to the next segment. It's the naked playlist time. Y'all ready? Because it's coming. We'll be right back. Well, I'll be right back. Welcome back, y'all. It's naked playlist time. Let me find my naked mirror playlist, y'all. Give me a second. Boop. Okay, here we go. Y'all ready? Okay. So my first song on my naked playlist is Hoochie Mama. Yes, Hoochie Mama by 2 Live Crew. Now, here's why I picked that song. Somehow I came across it. I don't remember. But it also just triggered a childhood memory for me, because growing up, my dad used to play Doodle Brown by Uncle Lou. And so when I just heard Hoochie Mama, it was like it's crazy enough. But you guys know from my story, they have an unorthodox dad. So just hearing Hoochie Mama, it made me feel good, because they were just talking crazy. Like, I just love when people just say whatever the fuck they feel. And like, hoochie mama, come on, hoochie mama, you ain't nothing but a hoochie mama, hoorah, hoorah, hoochie mama. That's just another way of saying, like, bitch, you's a thot. That was just, hoochie mama, actually, when I think about it, it sounds much nicer than calling somebody a thot. It does. But I guess, you know, back then, they had a little more respect for our black sisters. Now, my next song on my playlist is Bad. Not by Michael Jackson, but by Mike Jones. I wonder what happened to Mike Jones. But yeah, it was Bad. It's called Bad, and it's Mike Jones featuring the Ying Yang Twins. And y'all, come on. I'm looking for a dom. That's top of the line. Cute face, slim waist. What a big behind. Then you gotta be a bad bitch. Yo, remember when ATL just had everything on lock? This is one of the songs that just make you want to shake your rump and your money maker. And then to bring your body temperature down just a little bit, to bring your energy, keep your energy there, but just slow down just a little bit. We're going to go with Bills, 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 because then it's the moment where you do like the karaoke part in the mirror. So you know I had to put something up there like that. Bills, Bills, Bills by Destiny's Child. And that's when you got to get your toothbrush and trampoline. Good for nothing. You got to do all the parts, okay? Then you got to bring it back up with my girl, Lizzo. Come on, y'all know I was going to have for one. I told you I've been obsessing with Lizzo. And it's Tempo. Bruh. The other day, I was listening to Tempo on the elliptical. I'm just telling you, Lizzo just, I was feeling so free. I was just fuck it up to the tempo. Dancing hard as hell on that fucking elliptical. Now my little stupid ass would have fell. Would have been on somebody's Snapchat. But yo, I fucks with Lizzo and I love Missy, bro. I told y'all how I feel about Missy, Mr. Mina. So yeah, Tempo, bro. That was just a funky ass combination. I'm just so happy like Lizzo got to experience Missy and Missy got to experience Lizzo. For real. Dopeness. Brown sisters coming together. I love it. My next song, yo, I heard this the other day and I was like, yes, I gotta use it. Free Your Mind by En Vogue. Man, that song was so fucking liberating, man. It was telling people to just be yourself, man. Free your mind and the rest will follow. Be colorblind. Don't be so shallow. Come on now. Phew. That's a nice ass rock song too. Well, black version of a rock song anyway. I love it. And then my next song is Living My Life Like It's Golden by Jill Scott. That's just a feel good song, man. How could you not? And plus it just made me think of my mom because my mother, like, that's just her favorite saying. Like, we could be talking and she'd be like, yeah, and my neighbor was sitting up there complaining about my other neighbor. And I told her, I'm just minding my business. I'm over here just trying to live my life like it's golden. And I looked at my mother like, you know what, mom? You're a funny motherfucker. And I get it. That's where I get that shit from. Because who says that? I don't know. I find my business. I'm just living my life like it's golden. When you go ahead, Zabora, and live your life like it's golden. That's how you made it to my playlist, mom. But yo, word, come on now. Y'all know just Scott be telling people like, I don't give a fuck. I'm living my life. And I love that song. And next on my list is Creep by TLC. I just like trying to sing like, what's her name? Why is it escaping my, oh, gee. I just like trying to sing like T-Boz. I just like it. So I had to have Creep up there. So I'll creep. Then you know you got to do the dance. When you sway your arms and you do your legs like a funky chicken a little bit. I did not describe that dance right, but y'all know. Watch the goddamn video. And my next song, I told y'all it's diverse up here. I think every black person know this Spanish song. Suavemente, besame. Yo quiero conocer tu barrio. That's all I know. And I don't even think that was a word. But I knew what Suavemente was. I knew that part. But that's my favorite song, y'all. At my family functions, as soon as this song comes on, my family jump up And we just be, besame. Yo, and I know how to do all the dances, okay? Didn't I tell y'all I spent more time with everybody else except my own people? No, that's a lie. But in a way, I kind of did. So, and not for nothing. I took a lot of dance classes and I was always extra. So I always had to learn everybody dance because when I would go to the clubs with my Hispanic friends, what's funny is when they would play our music, you know, black music, like I got it, I carry away. And then, so then the Spanish girls, you know, in the club, because it was Spanish night, but then, you know, they didn't mix it because they seen some us brown ones in there. So then it was like when the brown people music was, well, they brown too, but y'all know what I'm trying to say. Then when our music was over, then the Spanish people come back on the floor and they'd be looking like, yeah, this bitch about to sit down. Yeah, thought they're wrong. And I would get up there and don't let them play Gasolina. Oh, and not even just the mainstream like songs. Like, I just know how to bachata and merengue. I just know, man, because I just was blessed to have a whole bunch of different kind of friends. And then my favorite song. One of my favorite songs. This is how I let people know I know how to sing song, right? Friend of Mine by Kelly Price. I remember my ex-boyfriend, right? He was like, let me hear you sing. And I was like, okay, this is what we're going to do. You going to go. I'm going to go in the bathroom, right? And I'm going to sit on the floor with my back against the wall. My back against the door. Then you going to sit on the floor with your back against the door. And I'm going to sing. And you going to listen like that. Okay? That works. Cool beans. There you go. And I did that. And that's how he knew that I know how to sing. But how could you not, bruh? Friend of Mine by Kelly Price. And the part. And not even the part. The version with Mr. Biggs and Aubra Kelly. How could you not? That's my favorite song. You know what I'm gonna do one day? I'm gonna do a karaoke with that. I tried to do it the other time with my cousin, but she flipped the script on me and she wanted me to be Mr. Biggs. And I was like, excuse me. This voice is trained to be none other than Kelly the Price. I will not be Mr. Biggs. So maybe next time I'll try and then I'll trick her and I'll hurry up and take the mic real fast and be Kelly Price. And next on my list, excuse me. By Lizzo, feeling like a stripper when I'm looking in the mirror. I've been slapping on that ass, getting thicker and thicker. Whoa. So somebody who always talk about they can sing, Jesus.
I be so bitchy.
But no, not for nothing, y'all. Seriously, I love Lizzo, man. Lizzo was funny. Lizzo is funny. And you know what? I use that wrong. Lizzo is magical. Lizzo is liberating. Lizzo is life. I love it. I love her. I shouldn't even say she's funny. Because I used it wrong. Like, I was just talking. But I love Lizzo. Yes, I do. My next song is I Like to Move It, Move It. I Like to Move It, Move It. And here's why. Because I heard it when I was watching the basketball game the other day. And I was just like, I want to put this song on my playlist because I work out to it. And I be in the bathroom doing all the old school dances. I like to move it, move it. And this is how my mama used to do. She used to be in the mirror, right? I called her one time. She was in the mirror. My mom suck at dancing. She was in the mirror dancing like a robot. And she was thinking, I like to mold it, mold it. I like to move. And I was looking at her like, first of all, I don't need you to learn words, sis. And secondly, thank God I do not get my dancing skills from you, Deborah. But yeah, it's a good song, bro. I like to move it, move it. And it's on Madagascar. I like to move it, move it. So hopefully I can teach it to my son and we can sing it together in the mirror. and do a whole dance routine. And last but not least, my girl, Shaka Khan. I know you. I love you. When I beat it's not difficult for me to say that I love you. Tell him, Shaka. I don't really know the words. Y'all know how when y'all know the words of the song, y'all just be like, like whatever the song is, you just sing it, but like you singing the words wrong. So I just be, they don't know the words. The song be loud. But I love Chaka Khan. I gotta end my that's funny because you did some Naked in the Mirror, but it's not about Chaka Khan. Don't care about that. It's about naked dancing and having fun, and I love doing that. So that is my playlist. I hope you guys enjoy it. And if y'all have some songs y'all want me to add, let me know so I can share with the other girls. My good girlfriend Gangsta Boo, she was sending me songs. She put me up on LaKaylee 47. I knew about LaKaylee 47 before, but I just was like really like, I was like, okay, she dope. But it was her beats. Excuse me. It was her beats at first, but then like I really had to listen to her. Listen to my good girlfriend put me up on her. And I was like, ooh, she be talking crazy. And it made me want to fuck on even more. So shout out to my good girlfriend Gangsta Boo for putting me up on the new shit. And yeah, y'all tag me on Instagram, Highly Melanated. Tag me in the song that you think I should add, and I'll add it. And I'm seriously gonna figure out how to do this playlist and put it on iTunes, man. For real, man. It's a lot that I want to do with this podcast, and we gonna do it, y'all. We gonna do it, cause your girl done made a year of consistency, and I'm proud of myself. I'm proud. And what's crazy is even as I'm doing this episode, you know, I'm critiquing myself and preparing myself for the next one. I'm just being honest. But yeah, guys, that wraps up my naked playlist. We'll be back. And welcome back, guys. I hope you are enjoying the show so far. I'm excited about trying different things, man. You gotta challenge yourself. I just want to get better and better, not perfect, but just better and better. And moving on, look at my baby. I just hear him, but his dad got it. I'm trying to work here, brother. But that's perfect that he did that, because that kind of segue into my next segment, which was my growth as a mom. And my growth as a mom, I will say, I had to first learn to forgive my parents and then forgive myself. And that is making it easier for me to mother my son, because I'm taking out, I don't want to say take it out. I'm leaving that little girl where she's at, and I'm letting her know it's okay. It's all right to show up as a healthy adult. You know, it's not my fault the way my parents raised me. You know, they just did the best way they know how, and that's it. You know, I gotta move on. You know, those people that hurt me, those family members that were abusive to me, like, that's their shit to wear. You know, I can't carry that with me, because then it would be impossible for me to mother my son. I would be inhibiting myself. So I'm just learning to release that. Yeah. Oh, my stomach felt crazy saying that. Like, that energy just felt so crazy. Like, I guess maybe that's why they call your stomach your core. But yeah, like, I'm really learning to just mother. Just be a mother, and be patient with myself, and tell myself, listen, he only 20 months. You got the rest of your lives to figure this out. You're not going to always know. And it's okay. You know, there's this perception, especially as a black mother, that you gotta just do so much. You just gotta be super Negro mom. And bro, that's not, no, I'll say this. I am super mom, but in my own way, everybody parents differently. I'm doing it in my own way, and it's working. now that my position allows me to come home early, I have way more time to spend with my son. I give my baby a bath. You know, I read to him. I'm able to do all of those things. Now that I don't have a job that's such a heavy workload, even though a social work is still nothing compared to being a principal, quote unquote, I have so much time to pay attention to him and just know that, you know, he's picking up on things. Like, we do this thing where we go, shh, 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 and he go, way, wee, wee. What he's trying to say is, all through the town. I started teaching him the wheels on the bus. So, I love the fact that his memory is like, he's getting there. And him and dad does this their thing. A, B, C, 1, 2, 3. And he knows how to say no. You know how to say ma. Stop. He learned how to say cat. And he know dog. But he haven't seen the cat because it's cold. So he's been in the house. But he definitely know how to say cat. And he's also, he think that he can drive. He forgot that he was 20 months. So whenever it's time to get in the car, my guy, he want to get in the front seat and drive and press buttons. And he knows how to work the locks. He pays attention to the locks. Like, he'll press the button, he'll look. Oh, that's what that do. He'll press the button. Oh, that's what that do. And he learns the pattern. Like, he's very intelligent. I love it. And I'm so happy that I am able to experience that. Because as a working mom, like, you know, you get that mom guilt of feeling like, you know, I should be doing this and I should be doing that. And I have to say to myself, if this is what you're able to do with him, and this is what you're able to experience with him, it's okay. There's going to be other things. Just be grateful that you're experiencing these things with him, you know. So, I'm just enjoying motherhood, man. I get a little nervous about taking him places, just because of the awkwardness of trying to meet other moms. But it's like, I want to do everything with my son that my parents weren't able to do with me, or didn't know how to do with me. You know, I want my son to feel comfortable to come to me and then say, hey, mom, let's hang out. You know, when I wanted to hang out with my dad, he was like, we ain't white. And I was looking, I'm like, nigga, what? Oh, God, black people. We got to stop equating all fun shit and positive shit and loving, nurturing shit with white folk. I know we brainwashed to think that, but, you know, but I mean, I just show y'all how ignorant my daddy is, and that's daddy issues right there. Who tells their kid that? An unhealthy adult. And I forgive my dad. So, you know, I want to definitely make sure that my son and I have that relationship where we just comfortable, free, you know. I want him to know who I am. I believe that that will allow him to mature. Who word do I want to use? I believe that it will allow him to mature. I don't want to say the way he's supposed to. What am I trying to say? I want him to not feel like a stuck kid. You know, for a lot of us, when we go through things, we get stuck, you know, and we have a hard time coming up out of that. And I don't want my baby to get stuck. Or you know what's a better example? What I want to say is, I want him to see me human, you know, so then he can process all his emotions, because my mom didn't do that stuff in front of me, so I wasn't able to process a lot of things. So I never see my mom vulnerable, but I also held my mom to the standard as a god. I had my father to the standard as a god. Like, I didn't see my parents, like, show emotions about stuff. Like, my dad just joked about everything, my mom just yelled, and my dad just yelled. You know, I didn't see them be like, you know, say, look, we're struggling. You know, my mom just tried so hard to provide, but I just needed her to just show me she was human, because then it would have been easier for me to be there for her when her patient passed away, when my grandmother passed away. You know, I want to be vulnerable and be open with my son. I want him to see me cry, and I want to tell him sometimes why I'm crying. if not all the time, depending on his age and how his maturity level is. I want to be that with my son. And not that parent that's like, oh, we friends. Because don't get it twisted. Yeah, we friends, but I still fuck you up. Like, that's two different types of friendships that we talking here. You know, still gonna be some respect. But I want to, I want to do it differently, man. I want that to be my little homie, because that is my little homie. That's my baby, man. That's my baby. That's why I guess I understand, you know. I don't understand when moms lose their kids. I don't know that type of pain or hurt. And I don't ever want to experience it. But a part of me just understands as a mother, like, that pain, you never want to feel that pain. That's, you losing something that you created. This is my human. And I sniff him and he smells like poop, sticky stuff, brown sugar, and baby powder. And I just inhale all of that. So I get it, man. You being so in love with this little person. And you watch this person grow up, and it's going to get scary and scary as they go off into the world. But I want to be here for it, man. I want to be here for it. But also, while my little man is growing, and I'm navigating through motherhood, I remind myself to take care of myself, because I gotta be a healthy me for him. So in order to provide him everything that I just told you that I want to do for him, I gotta make sure I'm right. And that means taking my ass outside. I feel like I was in the house for like 2.5 years. Like, once I got pregnant with him, I didn't want nobody touching me, being around me. Like, yo, when I tell you I became a bitch, but also a bitch because I just know, like, how I grew up. Like, I was like, y'all not doing this, not to my cup. I kept my distance from a lot of people. Yo, my family, they always talk about, like, yo, Tasha, you not me. Sometimes my family see my son, and they don't even know that's my son. They don't even know who this little boy is. He went with my cousin last week. Or no, 2 weeks ago. And she was like, they kept asking, like, who baby is that? And she was like, that's Tasha baby. And like, no, like, dead ass, no lie. Like, I really don't play when it comes to my baby. Like, I protect him at all costs. I will hurt you over my youngin', over my cub. I will rip out your whole motherfucking throat. So I keep him close by. I really do. But I'm learning to allow him to go out and meet his family. Because that's how I grew up. Because I know that the family members that I let him go with, my cousin, she protected me growing up. So I know she gonna protect my son even more. You know what I'm saying? So, hey, Gucci. And that allowed me to go the fuck out. They allow me to, bitch, I keep trying to tell y'all, who let the mom out? I be carrying away. I want the chilies, right? And you could not tell me I wasn't somewhere else. I was up in Chili's, just souped up, just happy that a nigga was outside. We was ordering margaritas left and right. It was only $5. I was fucking with the waitress, bruh. I was so happy. Like, I just felt like myself again. Like, I was just like, yo, we gotta do this more often. Me and my cousin and my good girlfriend, we fucking was having car karaoke. I was like, all right, y'all, what we gonna sing? Now, normally, I would have never did that. Like, it's so funny how outgoing I am, but how awkward and how much confidence I lack around other people. And I guess because I spent so much time by myself doing all those things, like learning how to do all dance routines, learning how to, like, I teach myself how to sing. Like, can you teach yourself how to sing? I'm not even sure, but I just spent so much time with myself that I was able to develop such personalities, and I feel like they're so sacred. So, because I don't like to be criticized and judged, but I'm learning to just be myself. Like, and it feels amazing because nobody can use you on you. Like, when I tell you, like, I am learning to just embrace all of everything that comes with me, it feels good. Because it's kind of one of those shits when somebody be like, oh, you this. Yeah, I know. Next. Keep it moving. It's one of them type of things. So, we did car karaoke. How did I go from that to this? We did car karaoke. And, I was like, all right, yeah, what we gonna sing? We dedicated to you. So my cousin was like, I'm gonna be Beyonce. And he didn't sound confident at first. And I was like, damn, like, nah, cuz be Beyonce. And when I heard it in his voice, like I knew that was a personal thing for him. But I was like, cuz you be Beyonce. Like, be the best Beyonce. And my good girlfriend, she was Kelly, and I was Michelle. And I'm okay with being Michelle because I study voices. So I put on my best Michelle voice, okay? And I sung the fuck out that song. And I heard them in the front seat like, this bitch.
They know everything is a show.
Everything is a show with me, okay? That is just how I live my life. I'm a fucking unicorn. I just live my life so magical. Just glittering dust all over the place. This is what I do, man. This is what I do. But I had an amazing time. And what's funny is my age really started to kick in because I was yawning. And then, like, first of all, Chili's is gross. But again, a bitch was just so happy to be outside. So the food gave me indigestion. So I had to stop my drinking. Like, serve me, Rebecca. Can you give me some hot water? One of my older good girlfriends told me, you drink that hot water, push all that down. It's going to come out. Solid or gas. But it's going to come out. So I had to end the party right there and drink that hot water. And I took a to-go hot water. I did. And then somehow we ended up in the sex store. Not somehow. I was just like, come on, y'all, because I need toys. So we went to the sex store, and I ended up getting a pill called the kangaroo pill. I use it. And let's just say, they're all ski-ski, motherfuckers. They're all ski-ski. Goddamn, we had a good night. Oh, we had a good night. The reason why his baby mama 10 years younger than him. All right, that was too much. Okay, but we had an amazing time in the sex shop. Like, I encourage everybody to go to sex shops. Like, my older friends, like, my friends that are older, like, in their 60s, like, older. Yes, and that's another thing I'm working on, like, building my tribe. Like, not just sticking to certain age group, but going back to the other subject. My older good girlfriends go in these sex shops and was telling me that they was carrying on. So I was like, bitch, go to a sex shop. Like, when was the last time you was at a sex shop? So we was in that sex shop and we was carrying away, and this couple came in and they brought the pill, and they was telling me how good it is or whatever, and they was like, you know, it enhances everything. So then I was like, all right, let me tell y'all something that y'all want to try, because the girl was like, she down for whatever. So I told the guy, put it in the one that stink and she rubbed on the one that wink, and they going, it's just going to just be a big explosion, and they going to thank me. I gave white people sex advice, and they listened to me. The guy was like, fuck yeah, I'm going to try it. And I was like, fuck yeah, you better, Chad, and you better let me know how that went, Susie. So I'm probably going to meet them next Tuesday. I'm at the sex shop, and they're going to tell me how that went. And then we're going to look for other stuff for them to try. You know, I might have a gig and doing that. Let me jot that down. Shit that I can do on the entrepreneur side, hustle side. But yo, moms, you gotta get out. It's funny because I do little IG video things titled Motherhood. And so a lot of times I get moms that reach out to me and they're like, yo, thank you. I love your personality. You so funny. You're such an inspiration. Or they'll say to me like, yo, I needed to hear this because I don't feel like myself lately. And the reality is, bro, motherhood is going to strip you of everything. It is definitely going to challenge you. It's the most challenging thing you're ever going to do, which is why I understand why mothers be wanting to knock their kids until next Friday. Because you're like, how dare you? We go through a lot as mothers. So it's so important that we take care of ourselves. We have to. Which is why you got to do you a who let the mom out. Bitch, go outside and have a good fucking time. Round up your village and go have a good time. Go to a bar. Go do something. Go to the movies. Just go. Go have a good time. You have to, man. You have to. And I felt so good doing that with my friends. I was so excited. I was back in the house by 11:55, but still. Bitch went outside at 8 o'clock and that was good enough. Shit, back in the day, I would be leaving out at 11:55. Now, when bitches coming in, taking the shoes off, walking in the house like Joanna, man, it's over for me. Just a little bit. Now, when I go to Paris, that's something different. But let me tell you something. A bitch gonna have on heels and gonna be walking down the streets of Haiti like bong, 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 bong. Wee, wee, bitches. That's just how I'm gonna be acting. But no, seriously, moms, y'all gotta get out, man, and tag me. Hashtag who let the mom out. Hashtag motherhood. And at me, Holly Melanita. Please, I need to see y'all out having a good time. You have to, bruh. Like, you really have to. It's okay. Like, we feel like as moms, we gotta be perfect, bro. All you gotta do is be yourself. Be yourself, and that's it, man. Get your naked playlist and, bitch, dance in that motherfucking mirror, bro. Shake that ass, rub them titties, do whatever. You can rub baby oil on yourself. Do whatever you want to do. Just fucking have a good time. Just enjoy being a mother. Because that's not for nothing. And I just feel like, I feel like a whole different person as a mother. Like, yo, I feel like if I could get through this, like, it's nothing that nobody can say. Like, these stripes that you earn, that you go pregnancy, labor, like, that's the closest thing to death. Labor. Well, having a kid. Delivery was what I should have said. And my therapist said that to me, and I gave my therapist the look of death. She was like, well, I mean, I couldn't tell you that while you were pregnant. I had to wait till after you had the baby. And I looked up like, I want to call you a bad word, but I love you. But it's true, man. We go through some crazy shit. Our bodies go through some crazy shit. And we put up with a lot of shit. Gotta go out and have a good time, moms. You have to. You have to, man. You gotta love yourself. Get you some books. I remember I was in a real dark space. And I get like that around certain holidays. And my therapist was like, oh, girl. After our session, she was like, you got to get you some self-help books. And I started doing the work, man. It's an everyday job. Happiness, self-care, self-awareness, knowledge of self, self-love. You know, all that shit. All that internal cleansing. That's a gig you got to show up to every day. Ooh, sorry, y'all. I'm drinking ginger ale. I'm sorry. It's a gig you really have to show up to every single day, even when you don't want to. Even when somebody says something that stung a little bit. When my aunt, my mom say, you dust your motherfucking knees off and you stand up and you try again. It ain't no door, make a door. You just gotta show up. You gotta show up, man. Don't get discouraged. Stay in the fight. You gotta just love on yourself. And know that if you find yourself at a job and you feel like love don't live here anymore, man, start putting in the resume and look for something else. Because they can't take that talent away from you. You got to remember, we make these companies. We make these businesses. We make these organizations. We make these corporations. Us. They live off of us. We are the worker bees. If you, bruh, buy, take your talent somewhere else, man. Work for yourself. Work for yourself, bruh. I was talking to my good girlfriend today. We was having a moment. I was crying. And I was like, I don't feel dope no more. She was like, what? She was like, you so fucking talented. She was like, bruh. She was like, you so different. She was like, you know a lot of billionaires? Do you know what they cut themselves. They cut themselves from that mold. And they was like, fuck that. I'm going to take my talent. And I'm going to do it my way. You got to believe that. Now, I mean, I don't know if I'm going to be no motherfucking billionaire. I even take me in 1,000 there. But I'm going to take these talents, man, as far as I could take them. I used to be afraid, like, oh, what if somebody, like, big comment or just what if somebody comment in general and give me criticism? Bro, when I look on my, the iTunes thing, the podcast, I've got a few, like, one star, and that shit bothered me. But then I was like, okay, but look at where 5 stars is at. Or is it 4 stars? Look where that one's at. Way further than those people that don't like it. And I had to also learn, everybody's not going to like you. And it's okay. It's all right. Everybody not for everybody. It's okay. You respect me, I respect you. And that's it. We keep it moving. It's fine. We're going to wrap this episode up on that note. But before we go, before I go, I'm going to leave you guys with a quote that I found by T.D. Jakes. And it says, the greatest and most lethal weapon the enemy can ever challenge you with is you. Let me read that again. just in case you want to write it down. The greatest and most lethal weapon the enemy can ever challenge you with is you. Nobody can use you on you when you know you. Point blank, period. All right, mothers. It's time for me to go to bed. I've been talking to y'all long enough. Hope I didn't lose y'all. Y'all be blessed. And I thank you guys for tuning in to the Highly Melanated Podcast Show. And don't forget to tune in weekly as this mother tackles life as a mom of a toddler. I said that right, didn't I, y'all? I'm sleepy. I'm sorry. Remember to tune in as I tackle life as a mom to a toddler, my relationship with my partner, a career, trying to figure out how I'm going to be this entrepreneur, and still trying to figure out how I'm going to be one sexy ass MILF. Y'all be blessed. Peace. You know, man.